And now to another evolution in entertainment. A night at the theater means different things to different people, but to the hip-hop generation, it might sound like this. That's DJ ID, a performer featured at this year's Hip Hop Theater Festival in Washington, D.C. Festival organizers bill it as one of the premier showcases for hip-hop DJs, dancers, poets, samplers, and other performers. Joining us to tell us more about it is Camila Forbes. She is the artistic director of the festival, and she was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studios. Welcome. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Now, you know, I hate to put on my fogey hat, my old fogey hat, but I have to put it on. So the term hip-hop means different things to different people. So what is hip-hop theater?
We at the festival define it as theater emanating from a cultural generation that was completely influenced by the social, political, and cultural movement of hip-hop. Those pioneers and revolutionaries within the hip-hop movement know that it's something even broader than that.
Well, you know, the pioneers of the hip-hop generation are getting their AARP cards now, right?
This is so true.
So
it spans a wide.
So I guess what I want to know, can I still come? I really think that's where I'm headed.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Bifocals and all.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I attended Howard University as a theater major. And for a long time, I felt that my stories were not necessarily represented on American theater stages. So I started to write my own work and direct my own work. And peers were also doing the same and directing the work from a very specific cultural and generational perspective, hence the name hip-hop theater.
You know, I think a lot of people associate hip-hop or as see it as being rooted in the African-American community, but it is global now. And I wanted to know if that sensibility is reflected in the festival, and if so, how?
Absolutely. You know, over the past 10 years, we have been presenting work that is not only from a national perspective, but also we presented Frankie Jara, who's from Sao Paulo, Brazil, a b-boy by the name of Storm, who came to D.C. at the Kennedy Center, who was from Berlin, Germany, artists from England, from Amsterdam. We had Nita Leem, who's a choreographer from Amsterdam, and who was here showcasing her work last year in Washington, D.C.
What are some of the artists that stand out for you along with those that you just mentioned?
We have artists like that are rooted in the spoken word tradition who've begun to make that transition into theater and more longer form work, taking their poems into longer form. So artists like Mark Bamuti Josephs from San Francisco, who started off in the spoken word world and started to meld movement and music and the written word into full-length theater presentation. And I think he's definitely a forerunner.
Africans new to the new world were divested of a principal means of announcing their own being. It was one of several tortures of the European colonized state that the colonies made it an offense, punishable by death, for folks of color to be in possession of any noise-making instrument. However, they had enough business sense not to devalue their own property by chopping off our feet, which gave us just enough space to bring back the beat. Feel me?
Now, I don't think that people necessarily associate Washington, D.C. with hipness, but
I do.
Well, thank you. We like to think so, too.
Absolutely.
But there is something a little incongruous in one way about Washington, D.C., but perhaps not.
Not when you think about the community of Washington, D.C. The community of Washington, D.C. is a culturally vibrant one, and our trendsetters. It's no mistake, I think, that, you know, our partners in this festival and our main sponsors, the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanity, this is our only festival across the nation that is absolutely free to the residents of the community in which it's in. So to me, that puts the organization of the D.C. Commission at the cutting edge of trying to reach a cultural generation and a cultural hipness, if you will.
The festival does travel, though.
It does.
It is seen where else?
It's seen in New York City. We've produced festivals also in Chicago and San Francisco. We have another component called Hip Hop Theater on Tour. We'll take single pieces that have toured over, you know, 45 different cities across our nation.
Do you envision a time when hip hop will be seen at sort of a venerated cultural institution like the Kennedy Center?
We were there last night.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I kind of envisioned it yesterday.
Well, no, but to that end, though, there are those who would argue that once an art form goes inside, as it were,
absolutely,
to a mainstream accepted arts venue, then that means its true life is over. In some ways, some people say, well, once jazz moved from the clubs and the dance halls to the concert stage, it actually lost its vibrancy as alive, as a living art form. And I know this is one of those things that's hotly debated, so jazz fans, please do not feel a need to inundate me with emails. I do grasp it. But that is an argument that one hears. I'd like to ask the question to you. In regard to hip hop?
You know, in regards to hip hop, and I think that, you know, us as sort of cultural producers really have to think of new models of how we codify the art and how we preserve the art form, because I definitely agree with you, and particularly around hip hop, because hip hop is truly a cultural, social, and political response to what is happening in our nation, what is happening in our communities, what is happening in our blocks. So once it is only sort of codified just for its artistic relevance, something else new has to be created. So I think we have to be very careful in the way in which we try to institutionalize social movements, which are the complete antithesis to that. You know, in our organization, we're very conscious of that and knowing that there's has to be room for reinvention.
Camila Forbes is the artistic director of the Hip Hop Theater Festival. The festival is in its ninth year.
That's correct.
Based here in Washington, D.C. She joined us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. The festival continues in Washington, D.C. through the end of the week. And as she mentioned, most events are free.
Absolutely. All of them are free.
So all of them are free.
Please come out.
Camila Forbes, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Before we go, we'd like to mention that earlier this week, Oregon Public Broadcasting, or OPB, became the newest member of the Tell Me More family. And we'd like to say, welcome, welcome, welcome. OPB added us to its impressive program lineup, and we thank them and you for supporting this program. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Brecton Booker, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Arjun Hutchins, Alexis Kenyon, Emily Oxenschlager, Naima Pierce, Rob Sachs, and Jennifer Longmire-Wright. Our senior editors are Devar Ardalan and Kyle McKinnon. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. The program was directed this week by Monica Evstatieva. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.